Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because
this afternoon that said, oh, and I forgot. The article said, B busyness about business in the king's business does not excuse us from neglecting the king. Business in the king's business does not excuse us from neglecting the king.
Amen.
You know, many times people just get real busy. And I find more and more and more and more that people are gotten so busy teaching so many things and doing so many things. And terminology has come, they just gave me this afternoon, but I think it's appropriate here before I begin to preach. If you go to college today, you can't call yourself a housewife. You have to call yourself a domestic engineer. You know, terminology has played big in our days. You don't know what to name a church no more. You know, you don't know what to put on a church because it identifies you either to the right or to the left. And half the time, what it identified you when you started, somewhere down the road, people have changed the whole terminology of that word. Now it means something else. And people kept the same thing with Christianity, you see. This word Christianity. In Spanish culture, if you ask a person if he's a Christian, he says, what do you think? I'm an animal? They have taken that anybody that has been christened as a baby is a Christian, you see. So I ask somebody, I said, are you a Christian? He says, what do you think? I'm an animal? They have substituted the word Christian to mean humane. So anywhere that Christianity is, we call anywhere that there's any form of religion in the name of Christianity, people call it today, well, they're Christian. I'll give you a perfect example. One of the most heathen nations on the face of this earth is America, and she's called a Christian. So people get away from what words mean. You know, 7 years ago, we put a title on our church name, and it had to be called something. So we put a name on there. But you know, now, every time I see that name, I know that they've done something to that name. And now that name, if you're over there where Ayatollah Khomeini, it means a nut, a radical. So people get away, and all of a sudden, people come to church and come to this assembly or go to another church. And because there's things there that are either new to them, not necessarily new, just new to them. Or because it's different than the traditional place where they've worshipped, or for X reason they say, boy, ain't this nice, and they miss the whole concept of what Christianity is.
Amen.
I know people that the reason they're going around walking door to door every Saturday, selling them little books door to door, is because when they were in their religion, whatever it was, they didn't do that. So they figure, hey, this must be it, because look, these people here, they don't eat pork, and they don't eat, you know, they don't do this, they don't give blood transfusion, they don't have no loyalty to no country, so this must be it. Another fellow comes over here, and he tells you not to drink tea, not to drink coffee, not to do this, you know, and wear a white shirt and put on a tie, and sacrifice 2 years of your life to do missionary work. He says, this gotta be it. Some other fellow down the road over here tells you that there's something to be enjoyed and that you can jump and holler and scream and just have a good time and enjoy yourself. This is, this gotta be it. This gotta be Christianity because I can enjoy it. Another fellow over here tells you gotta do all this hard works and you gotta do all this penance. You gotta do all this stuff. And you say, well, this has got to be it. You know, if I was really looking for religion, if all I was looking for religion, I'd find better religions in other parts of the world.
Amen.
Than Christianity.
Amen.
They offer more. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. I'm going to preach tonight on a very simple subject. And yet someone said one day, now simplicity has become profundity. Did you hear what I said? Simplicity has become profundity. What I'm trying to say is that many times the most simple things in the Bible, now people say, boy, he's deep. People have gotten so deep that now they're so stale that if you give them anything that's so simple, they think you're so deep. So wow, I will not speak on any deep subject tonight. I will just bring out and answer a question. What is Christianity? 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13 reads like this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that you might believe in the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, bless the reading of this scripture and make real this passage. And Father, enlighten the hearts of men and women here tonight to what real Christianity is. Now, Father, we realize that it would take us, Father, weeks and months to go into detail and take scripture upon scripture to prove real Christianity and what Christianity is all about. But, Father, as we speak for this 30, 40 minutes, we'll just pray that you'd help us. Give, Father, an overlay view of what real Christianity is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. To introduce Christianity, let me say what Christianity is not. Christianity is not in a church. It cannot be gained by church membership. It is not going to church meetings. And it is not given to the church or to the mission of the church. This has nothing to do with Christianity. You say, boy, a man alive. So, going to church, being a member of a church don't mean nothing to Christianity? Absolutely nothing to Christianity. And I want to tell you something. You have any time, anybody, and I throw everybody in on this. Anytime anybody professes. One lady told me one time in church, this is Pastor, how can I know who is a real brother? And who ain't a real brother? And she says, how can I know of all the people that knock on my door? She says, you all knock doors. I said, yes, we do. He said, this other religion knocks doors in the name of Christianity. He says, yes, they do. This other bunch knocks doors. Yes, they do. She says, how can I know which is the real Christianity? I said, if anybody ever tells you that they got a corner on Christianity, if anybody ever tells you that Christianity is through their church, if anybody ever tells you that they are the only ones preaching Christianity, 99.9% of the time, you mark them out. They're wrong.
That's right.
They're wrong. Because Christianity is not in church membership or in going to church meetings or to giving to the church mission. Christianity also is not something you can conquer. It does not come by education. It does not come by escalation or employment. Christianity, you cannot conquer Christianity. People sometimes think, well, if I just had better knowledge of the Bible. You can't grow into Christianity. And you don't come by escalation. You don't go up a ladder. You didn't start here and wind up over there. You don't start reading the Bible one day and start in kindergarten Christianity. And then later on one day graduate with a degree of theology in Christianity. No, you don't do that. You may do that in religion, but you don't do that in Christianity. Christianity cannot be Christianity. It's not something you conquer, either by education or escalation. It does not come by employment. Or let me give you better, I try to keep those E's the same way, but let me tell you, it does not come by works. You can't work to get it. Christianity is not a compromise. Christianity is not a compromise. It is not enough good to balance the bad. That is not Christianity. Christianity is not I have enough good here. Now I try to do good to balance the bad that I am. That is not Christianity. Before I was ever saved, I tried to believe. I said, well, I guess God gave 10 commandments. Listen. God gave thousands of commandments.
Amen.
Thousands.
Amen.
But let's just stick to 10. You know, we couldn't even keep 10, much less 1,000, you know. So I always figured, I said, well, there's 10. If I just keep 6. I mean, after all, when I went to school, they passed you with a 60. You know, they called it a circle 70, you know, but it really 69, you know. I said, if I can just balance this thing. But you see, I was whole. Hey, I not only was on the scale, I was whole in the scale. I decided which 6 I kept.
Yeah, amen.
I made up my mind which ones I could keep. Hey, Christianity is not a compromise between the good to balance the bad. Christianity also is not in clothing. You can't clothe yourself with Christianity. You can't put it on and take it off like religion. Now, religion, you can do that with religion. Religion, you can clothe yourself with religion. Man, you can show up here so pious, so religious, carry your King James Bible, come sit among us tonight, and go home and cuss till the devil turns blue. Now, you can do that with religion. Religion will accept that. But Christianity is not a robe.
Amen.
Or clothing you can put on today and take off tonight and live for the devil tomorrow and come back Sunday and put on that robe back again. Christianity is not in clothing, and Christianity in mind, this is getting pretty close. Christianity is not acting like Christ.
Amen.
Man, you say if acting like Christ ain't Christianity, what is Christianity? Christ.
Amen.
It ain't acting like Christ. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not a plan but a person. Christianity is not a reform but a rebirth. Christianity is not a new leaf but a new life. Christianity is not turning around on the road you're going, but it's a new road.
Amen.
You see, the devil has made a counterfeit of Christianity. And this counterfeit will pass every human test.
That's right.
It will be approved by every religion. You know why? Because in the devil's counterfeit, man is the judge of what is righteous and what is wicked. And man, as man changes his position in view, as man changes what he believes, all he has to do is change his religion. That's all man has to do. He no longer believes this way. Ain't no problem. Here's a religion that'll fit your what you want to believe. I'll give you an example. You don't believe that you ought to be the husband of one wife? Well, it's all right. There's a religion that offers you to live with more than one woman and marry more than one woman at a time. I don't mean divorce one, marry another. I mean you can have more than one wife. Now, they may not practice it openly, but they still believe it. And if you check their doctrine, it's in their doctrine. So all of a sudden, you don't believe in a hell. Well, there's a religion that will offer you no hell. Well, all of a sudden you believe that Christianity is something for which you need to suffer. Well, there's a religion that will offer you all the suffering you want in the world. See, men's viewpoints change.
That's right.
About Christianity. We change all kinds of words. Words one day that meant one thing mean a different thing today. I'll give you an example of how we change words. You know, if I went to the store one day, and 30 years ago I walked in the store and I said, where can I find me some clothes? Someone would say, sir, the big man section's over there. A woman walk in the store, one by a dress, and they said, lady, the big woman section is this right here. Not no more. You know what they call it? This is the full size. You ain't fat. You're full.
Amen.
Terminology changes. People change the meaning of words. There's that drunkard. No, no. That alcoholic. Now, there's that sodomite. No, no, that gay. People change terminology. People done the same thing with Christianity. They disguise it. They've adored it. Hey, I'll be honest with you. There's some people, if Christianity was left up to me, I know a lot of false religions that to the naked eye, to the eye, practice. Did you hear me? Practice. A lot of Bible.
That's right.
Hey, you live... If you want to be honest, communism would fit under Christianity. Why? Well, their name says that they keep everything in common. They're all poor, but they keep it in common. As a matter of fact, if you start checking the manifesto, they claim out of Acts chapter 2 or 4 where it says they had all things in common. Well, communism has everything in common. That don't make them Christian. They're anti-God. Hey, and the average religion today is anti-God too.
Amen.
They're anti-God. The Bible says they set out in Romans chapter 4 says that while they did not accept the righteousness of God, they went about to put out their own righteousness, to establish their own righteousness. Paul speaks of them. So I'm telling you tonight what Christianity is not. It is not in a plan. It ain't no plan. It's in a person. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot reform yourself. It is instead of communism. Communism said we can take an old man and put a new set of clothes, a new suit of clothes on him. Well, Christianity will take an old set of clothes, and put a new man in.
Amen.
It is not in reform, it is in rebirth. Christianity involves rebirth. It is not a new leaf. You don't make up one day, wake up in the morning and says, today, now, I'm going to turn a new leaf. No. Christianity is a whole new life. Contrary to everything you've ever lived. It's a life that's no longer led by the flesh, but a life that is led by the Spirit. It is not turning around on the road you're on, for if you're on the same road, you're liable to change opinions and turn back on the other way. You only stay on that road, you go this way, you say, oh, I shouldn't be doing that, you go this way. Then later on says, well, why not? And you go this way. Well, I shouldn't. Well, you go back this way. That's religion. You're back and forth. But Christianity, when you come to Christ, He takes you off that road, puts you on a new road.
Amen. One way. Amen.
A road of sanctification. A road that's leading you to righteousness. I've shown you what Christianity is not. Now let me show you what Christianity is. It is receiving Christ in salvation. Plain and simple. Romans 6:23 said that the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want real Christianity? You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the one that has true Christianity. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift. It is a gift. It's not only a gift. Gift is something you pay not for. Gift is something, if you pay anything for it, no longer a gift. I had an argument a while back as we were giving this van to this missionary. We went down there to get it transferred over. And this lady said, what are you paying taxes on it? I said, it's a gift. Oh, she said, Pastor, he said, there's a $10 fee if it's a gift. I said, so? She said, well, if you'll sell it to him for a dollar, they won't, you know, your fee will, I don't know what she said, if you'll sell it to him for $100, then your fee will only be a dollar in taxes. And I said, but there'll be a problem. What's that? I said, it won't be a gift. She said, well, it won't be a gift, but you'll save $9. I know, but I told the church we gave him this van. The bottom line is, I've sold him this van. She said, what difference does it make? It's only a dollar. I said, it makes no difference other than it is no longer a gift. Once he gives me a penny for it, it is no longer a gift. He has bought it. She said, well, pay the $10. I said, well, I came prepared to pay the $10. Christianity is in Christ, and it's a gift given to you through Christ, but you must accept it as a gift. You cannot come and think that with any amount of righteousness, any amount from your part, you can contribute or pay back this gift. You must accept it as a gift, and second, not only is it a gift, but it is of grace. Of grace. Ephesians chapter 2 says that it is of grace. Now I know a lot of religions that take grace and they just kind of leap over a little bit and say, yeah, grace, grace. And let's go to the next subject. Hey, but grace is so deep that in eternity we'll still be thinking and we'll still be trying to comprehend grace.
That's right. Amen.
For you see, brother, if tonight I am here and if tonight I were to come, let me find a smaller fellow, okay? All kind of big. I'll pick this. Okay? If tonight we are here and if this boy here tonight is I'm here, spits on my face. If he does that, and if I don't hit him, is that grace? No, that's mercy. Why am I not hitting him? Because it ain't a question whether I can whip him or not. I'm being merciful to him. Hey, if I forgive you for doing that. But if I tell him, I said, how about going out with me and having a hamburger? Did he deserve that hamburger? No, sir, that's grace.
Amen.
That's grace. I didn't have to go that far. I didn't have to go that far. Mercy should have been sufficient, but no. God not only forgives man, God not only said, hey, all right, Adam, you're forgiven, so go your way and I'll go mine. Everything's for God. No, God said, I'll go a step further. I'll show you grace. Grace is then that I'll save my son. Hey, you know, God was merciful to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when he didn't kill them there. He said, the day you shall eat of this fruit, you shall die. God was merciful to them. But when God went and took those lambs and he offered that sacrifice and he made them coats, that was grace. They didn't deserve anything. God had told them what he wanted to do. They openly disobeyed God. But the grace of God for them was that God took some lambs and offered that sacrifice. And I tell you, they were only a type of the day that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to this earth and he would bleed on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for you and me. That's why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Salvation and Christianity is in a person named Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it is a gift. If you want this Christianity, you must accept it as a gift by grace, unmerited favor.
Amen.
We didn't deserve it. And you must understand that it is from God. And Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. You must understand it is from God. Christianity is not in any religion, in any church, but in Jesus Christ alone. And you must understand that it is of God. You must, if you want true Christianity, it is by receiving Christ in salvation as a gift by grace and coming from God. The Bible says within John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to be called the sons of God. But it don't stop there. I like what verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And let me tell you that Christianity speaks that you must accept the gift of God, which is by grace, is coming from God, and you must be born from above. This new birth of which it speaks is not according to the will of man, is not according to the will of the flesh, or by blood. In other words, you can't pass it on by blood. You inherit salvation, but you can't pass it on. You say, well, I inherited salvation, I'm going to pass it on to my son. No. He's got to go to the source. It's by the will of God. Not by the will of man. Not by the will of the flesh. But by the will of God. Salvation, Christianity, true Christianity, is from God. It comes from God. It's in receiving Christ. But it is not only, true Christianity is not only that we receive Christ. A lot of you have received Christ already and trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hey, but it don't stop there. Christianity is more than just receiving Christ in salvation. It don't stop there. That is the beginning of Christianity. You say, then we work from there? No. That would have said. I said that Christianity, it is receiving Christ in salvation, but Christianity, after you have trusted Christ in salvation, and after you've been born again from above, then Christianity becomes to you, you are to represent God in society. Once you've trusted Christ, you assume once you've been born from above, Christianity is to you becomes that you are God's representative in this society.
Amen.
You must represent God in this society, for we're representing His grace. For Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for here we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, on the good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Christianity is that we represent, we're representing God in society, we're representing His grace, but we're also representing His greatness. For Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And I'll tell you what Christianity is. Christianity is that you represent the grace of God in what God has done in you, in good works, but you also represent the greatness of God. See, that people see that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. But we're not only representing God in society in His grace, and that we're representing His grace and His greatness, but we're representing His glory. His glory. Yes, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. How do I represent God's glory? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, 12:1-2, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Listen, you represent, you're representing His glory. You're representing by percent, you're representing His glory by submitting yourselves, by presenting your bodies a living sacrifice for God. I find people say many times, "Brother, I'd die for my Lord." Yes, but will you live for your Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Will you live for your Lord? Hey, Christianity is not only that we receive Christ in salvation, it is that we represent Him in society. And we represent His grace when people see the change in our life, when they see our good works. We represent His grace. I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God. We represent His greatness. When people see our needs being met, we represent the greatness of God. That's in my needs. My God shall supply all of my needs. But when we submit ourselves a living sacrifice, when suffering comes in our lives, and we're in the will of God, and we have submitted ourselves to the will of God, we represent His glory. For the Bible says over there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, very clearly, very distinctly, we find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith much more precious than gold which perisheth. I believe it reads that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold which perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So Christianity not only is in receiving Christ, but Christianity involves us representing Him in society. But you know, certainly, it is a responding. It is in responding to Christ in service. You know, I find people today that maybe the easiest crowd to distinguish in any audience or in any group of people is, you know, people come up front to church sometimes, and they've been in church for a while, and they come up front and I ask them, "Are you saved?" And they say, "Yes, I'm saved." And then the second question I ask them, I said, "When were you saved?" And I'm not speaking necessarily of someone giving me, he said it was September the 14th, 1975, at about 8:27, when I got saved. I'm not necessarily asking for that, but I do want to hear an answer. I've had people tell me, I don't remember when it was, but it was so and such a time, or it happened this way, or whatever. But the third question I always ask a person is, how were you saved? And man, I almost fall backwards at the different answers I get. Well, I got saved one time when they were singing this. I got saved, and I felt something warm come over me. You know, I led this fellow to the Lord one time, and then I asked him, I said, "Would you like to follow the Lord in baptism?" Well, he said, "Yes." So we baptized in the church, and then that little room had a little heater. It was cold. The water was kind of cold, so I baptized him. We got through it. He gets out of the baptismal pool, and he walks into that little warm room. And he, of course, it's warm in the room. The water's cold. And he got dressed. He came out. He said, "You know, Brother Victor," he said, "when I got out of the baptistry, I felt this warmth." I said, "Of course you felt that warmth. That heater turned on, man, don't you?" Before I touch on the last point, I'm trying to bring out that many times what people are saying about what they've been saved or how they've been saved don't add up to what the Bible says about salvation. It don't add up to what the Bible says. Because listen, you may not understand the full theology of salvation. You may not understand that it saves you from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin and one day from the presence of sin. And you may not understand that salvation is progressive, that you are saved, that you're being saved, and one day you shall be saved. You may not understand all that. But I tell you, if you're saved, there's one thing you will understand. Understand that it was by the grace of God, that you have nothing to do with it, that there was no work, that you have no glory in it.
Amen.
But any time someone begins to add something to it,
amen,
you're adding glory to it. You're adding your little share. One man said, well, if what you're saying is truth, he said, I repented. Wasn't that my part? No. The Bible says God gave repentance to all men. Repentance is a gift of God, the scripture says. So what do you have to glory in? If repentance is a gift of God, where did you get it? Faith? The Bible says that God gave to every man faith by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. We have nothing to contribute to salvation. We have nothing to contribute. As a matter of fact, you didn't save yourself. You couldn't save yourself. The Spirit drew you to salvation.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
But I find people thinking, well, I got saved because I went up front. Hey. I know people have been saved, never been nowhere.
Amen. Amen.
An old man, I asked a man one time in church, I said, brother, where were you? Where were you saved? He said, Brother Victor, he said, I was saved. He said, at home. I said, how long ago have you been saved? He said, Brother Victor, he said, I've been saved about 10, 12 months. I said, which church you've gone to? He said, none, till you all went and knocked the door in my house. And I said, brother, how were you saved? And that's what he said. He said, Brother Victor, my mother was a godly woman. And my mother always read the Bible to me. And he said, you know, I never understood it, but I always read it. And he said, as I was reading the Bible one day there at home, this verse of Scripture just stood out at me. I said, which verse of Scripture? And he said, Romans 10:11. And I thought he was going to say 10:13, call unto me and I shall answer. You know, 10:13 that says, whosoever shall call upon... But he said, for the Scripture said, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
And he said, when I read that scripture, Brother Victor, I felt so ashamed of my sin. And I said, God, I told God to forgive me of my sin. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart. He said, I've been saved. I said, well, how come you ain't been to church nowhere? He said, I've been reading my Bible, asking God to lead me to a good church. I said, well, God answered your prayer. Follow me. That man says, well, I guess so. He said, I told God I wouldn't go look for a church. He said, you come knock on my door. So I guess this is an answered prayer. You know, as soon as that man grew in grace, as soon as he grew in grace, as soon as he came to church and got fed and began, you know what his testimony's always been? Jesus saved me.
Amen.
When I was a sinner.
Amen.
Hey, if you've been saved any other way, if someone's taught you that you were saved by calling the name of the Lord and then getting baptized, they fetch you another gospel. That's another gospel, the Scripture says. Now, you may not agree with what I just said, but it makes no difference. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in the name of Christianity today that I can prove what I just said. I can prove it from the Scripture. If you turn to me to Galatians chapter 5, I'll prove that whatever you got, if it ain't real thing, there's some things missing in your life. You say, how can you prove that? Turn with me to the Bible. And I'll show you. Verse 22, but the fruits of the Spirit are... Love. I find all the time with religious people, they cannot love. They cannot love. Sooner or later. Hey, every doctrine can be proved from that book. Sooner or later, religious people, as you begin to deal with them about their heart, sooner or later they blow up. They don't love you no more. They don't want to talk to you no more. They don't feel nothing. Hey, they were your best friend one day. They were your best friend. Oh, they said, I love you, you're my friend. But as soon as you start dealing with that doctrine that they say is real, and you tell them, I want you to show me from the Bible, or I want to show you from the Bible, right away, they have no love no more. They get mad, they puff up, and they leave. Somebody else ain't got. They ain't got no joy. For they keep seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking. Hey, the day I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I quit seeking. I didn't need anything else. I got a full dose of what I needed. You know, terminology changes, and people say, what we need, he said, God, you need more of God. That may sound right, but it's kind of backwards. I got all of God I need when I was baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
I don't need more of God. God needs more of me.
Amen.
I need to be yielded. I need to seek God's will for my life. But I'm telling you that there's people, let me show you something else, that religion will not give you. Even religion in the name of Christianity. And I'm going to stop right here to mention something because I am a Baptist minister. And I'm going to tell you something as I stop right here. The Baptist church cannot get you saved.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, some of the most lost people in the world are Baptists. Hear what I said? I go knock on the door, and I tell them, I said, my name is Victor Alvarez, I'm pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church. And that lady, she's a Baptist, this is what she'll say. She said, sir, I'm a Baptist myself. I've been baptized. I think of George Truett. He said back in 1948, he said, I perceived that 65% of our Baptist brethren are lost. That was back then. Can you get an idea now? There's a lot of lost people in church.
Right. Amen.
Just lost as can be.
That's right.
They have no understanding of what Christianity is. They try to figure everything out with a human mind. If it makes sense, hey, it makes sense to me. A lot of these things that people do make sense to me, they don't make them right. Let me show you something. Only when you're saved will you have love, for love is of God.
Amen.
Only when you're saved, and only when you have real love will you have real joy. And only when you have the joy that comes of knowing Jesus Christ in a very personal way, plus nothing, minus nothing,
Amen.
By grace and grace alone, will you have peace. And I challenge any religious person, no matter what their denomination or what their religious belief is, I challenge them to answer me this one question. Sir, do you have peace? If you'd have died tonight, do you have peace? Absolute peace that you go to heaven. I've never found a religious man. I found a lot of liars. They said they had peace, yet they kept seeking. I found a lot of people tell me they had peace and they didn't have peace, but I've never met an honest person before God that was not saved. All they had was religion that could tell me, sir, I know I'd go to heaven. Usually what they say is, I hope. I might. Sure, pray I will. For you see, the only one that can bear witness that you're a child of God and that your eternal security in heaven is secured is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that He is sealed. We are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
It is receiving Christ. And as I spoke of the second point, as I jumped to the third point, let me tell you that one thing, Christianity is progressive. God didn't save you just to save you and leave you there. He saved you that you might represent Him in society like I've mentioned. If that wasn't the case, if that case were just that you'd be saved, then we'd begin dying. But look, the most productive Christians are young Christians that get saved. The average old Christian gets saved at an old age. He's limited in his production. Limited in what he can do. Limited in his physical strength. His physical strength. His mental strength. Hey, there's just them things. The younger you are when you come to Christ, the greater potential that you have of being representing the Lord in this society to the fullest. You have the whole world, you have your whole lifetime before you. But you know, I don't understand people professing to be saved, claiming to be saved, and yet not desiring to represent
Amen.
Their God
Amen.
In society.
Amen.
Or assuming the responsibility and responding to Christ in service. Christendom, and I put it between parentheses, Christendom has never flourished like in the last 50 years. I mean, everybody's a Christian, and everybody's saved, and God has never been more poorly represented
Amen.
In the world than in the past 50 years. But if you check something else, the response to service has never been as poor. A lot of people professing to be saved. A lot of people saying, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Yet few people are responding to Christ in service. He said in Matthew 4:19, as fishers of men, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Yet every year, less Christians surrender to go and become fishers of men. Less Christians are surrendering today to full-time Christian service somewhere, sharing the gospel. Less Christians are doing it today than any other time in history. We have today, and I'm not by this, I'm not implying, and I'll back up a minute here to say that every Christian ought to shine in their place where God's have them. But I am saying that there's those people that have the calling of God, that God has called them to go and minister and to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And we find that few people today respond. That is why religion, and that is why this false Christianity that we see today is flourishing, because the real gospel, because the real Christianity is being hindered, that we're not responding in service. Matthew chapter 7 verse 20 tells us there in that scripture, oh, what a beautiful passage of scripture, and that it shares with us and tells us, it says, wherefore by their works you shall know them. And I tell you one thing, and let me stop right here to say that a Christian that is responding to Christ in service will bear fruit.
Amen.
Will bear fruit. Does God need fruit? Does God need fruit to save us? No. Fruit is not for God to save us, for that would imply works. The fruit is for others to be saved. The fruit produced in your life is a witness. I show you a tree has no fruit. Does it quit being a tree because it has no fruit? But you say, I wonder what kind of tree this is. Well, I don't know, it looks like an apple tree. Well, I don't know. It looks more like a pear tree to me. Well, I don't know. Some people don't even know what it is. So they say, yeah, it's a peach tree. But as close as you want to get, you don't know unless you see some fruit. You must see the fruit. We need to see the fruit. We're fruit inspectors. We go by the fruit. I remember across the street from my mother's house, there used to be a big old orange tree. They never picked the oranges. I always said, why these dumb people? They never picked them oranges. So I remember I was maybe about 10, I went and told Mrs. Gonzalez, Mrs. Gonzalez, can I have those oranges? She says, you like them oranges? I didn't know what she was talking about. I said, sure I like them oranges. Have as many as you like. My mother wasn't home. So, man, I went over there and got these two buckets, and I filled them oranges, and I took them home, and I emptied them. Filled them up and took them home and emptied them. Filled them up, took them home and emptied them. When Mama came, I had a bunch of oranges there. Mama said, where'd you get them oranges? I said, Mama, you know, that tree across the street, they've been there this whole time. Mama said, throw them away. I said, why? Aren't they any good? My mother said, eat one. Sure enough, I ate one. Ugh. They were sour oranges. That's why no one picked them. You got to inspect the fruit. You know, there's a lot of people that got some fruit. It looks almost identical. I mean, the terminology is, but take a bite out of that apple. Or take a bite out of that, take a bite out of that orange. You find the bitterness in it. You find bitterness. Oh, it don't show on the surface, but it shows in their lives. And I'm telling you, Christianity is fruit bearing. If you're saved, you'll bear fruit, the Bible says. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, tells us very clearly and teaches us very clearly, I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in a vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. We find in this verse of Scripture that in Christianity, it is a response. There's response to Christ in service. You'll produce that fruit in your life. You'll produce it. How will I produce that fruit? By letting the new man that lives in your soul take control of your life. That's how you produce it. By dying to self. Turn with me to Matthew 21. I want to show you one last scripture and then we'll close. Matthew 21, verses 28 and 29. Speaks of two sons here. But what think ye? A certain man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work in my vineyard. And he said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31. Whether of this twine did his father's, did the will of his father. And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And I tell you one thing, we have a lot of people today that are crying out, Lord, Lord. And the Lord said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you? Why do you call me Lord and you don't obey me? Why do you call unto me Lord? And Matthew chapter 7 says, in that day many shall call unto me Lord, but they'll show up with their work list. So the Lord, this is all we've done. The Lord said, apart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Salvation is not in works. Salvation is not in your good works. Salvation is in Christ, and in Christ alone. Christ alone is Christianity. He is the author of life. Life is found in Him.
Amen.
And Him alone. And I want to bear down on that thought tonight, that you will not for one minute think that any works that you may do, as good as they may be, that they have had any part or they have any part in salvation. But at the same token, the Bible says that first man said, I will not go, but then he repented and he went. I find a lot of people that call Jesus Lord that say, I will not go. The only difference is they don't repent, and they never go. I find people sometimes in church, you know, no one had to push on me to get baptized.
Amen.
No one had to say, when are you going to get baptized? When are you going to get baptized? When are you going to get baptized? I got saved. I didn't know. Did I know about being baptized? I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew I was saved. I didn't know how long it lasted, but pretty soon I got informed. I checked around. A couple of those Baptist deacons didn't know, but thank God somebody in that church knew. And you know, the next thing I heard the preacher preaching, he said, the Bible says you ought to get baptized. I told that pastor, I said, hey, I want to get baptized. He said, when? I said, when are you having baptismal? He said, next Sunday. I said, fine, I'll be ready. So by then my wife had gotten saved, and she said, I'll get baptized too. Oh, fine. My mother got saved. She said, I'll get baptized too. So we go down there, we're going to get baptized that next Sunday. It's freezing cold. It was in November. Freezing cold. Not only is it freezing cold, the heater didn't work in the baptistry. And the pastor said, he said, Brother Victor, he said, the water's kind of cold. He said, you want to wait till next week? It's kind of cold. And I said to myself, well, only if you want to wait. I said, you know, before I was ever saved, I go fishing. Be a cold day, and I'd be out there in the water about, it's 32 degrees, and I'm down to the water up to here casting. I said, well, I don't think it bothered me that much. Poor pastor, you know. And then my wife said, well, if he's going to, you see, I only got in the water one time to get out. But he had to stay in there, and two other people were there, five of us. He stayed until he, the other one said, well, if he's going to get baptized, I'll get baptized too. And me three, and me four, and me five. Well, Pastor, you're just turning blue. You know? Hey, no one had to push me to be obedient to be baptized. I tell you, this verse of Scripture says, at first he said, I will not go, but then he repented.
Amen.
One of the evidences of salvation is that you'll repent every time you disobey your Lord. I find people that claim to be saved, they've never repented. They never repented of the sin they committed 6 months ago. Now they said they say they're sorry, but they never repented. Being sorry and repenting is not the same thing. Remember yourself that. Repentance involves a change of mind. It involves a lot of other things too, but it involves you changing your attitude about that sin. Some people say, well, I've repented. But some people that claim salvation, they live that way, they live in sin, they live in sin. They hear the preacher preaching. They say, hey, preaching on that thing again. I check up on your salvation, because the Bible says that first son said, I will not go. Now the second one would have made a good religious person, for he said, I will go. So in religion is, I'll do it. Never do nothing, but they'll do it. As I close today, many people are full of religion. Man, they're so full of religion. Without understanding that what man does for God is religion. But they know nothing about salvation. Salvation is what God does for them. You say, you mean to tell me I cannot trust my grandfather's religion? No. You mean I can't trust my mother's religion? No. You can trust nothing but Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
I don't know why people cleave to their grandparents' religion. Well, my grandparent was this. Did you ever ask him what he believed? In the average case, he didn't even know what he believed. He didn't even know why he had that religion. And the average person, I find people tell me all the time, he says, well, I'm of this religion. And I said, do you go to church? No. Are you of this religion? Yes. And then I know what that religion practices, so I ask him, I said, do you do this? 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 Well, no. Well, that don't be a lie. You're not religious. You're just trying to hide behind some religious. You just pick the title out of there and you're trying to hide and it won't cover you. I realize that there's religious people. Hey, I have met some very devoted religious people of all sects and of all denominations. I have met people that got a lot of zeal for their religion. I've never met a religious man that was truly satisfied in his soul with what he had. He kept looking and looking and looking, because religion will not satisfy and religion will not guarantee the entrance to heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a completely different story. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, not shall have it. He said, hath it already. And I want to tell you something, and please, every time I think of this, my hair turns a little curlier because my brain can't comprehend it, and my brain begins to fry a little bit. But when I get to thinking that I am presently living in eternity.
Amen.
He says, this guy's off his rocker. Well, I know, but read 1 Peter chapter 10. First Peter chapter 10. They're completely off my rocker. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God chose the foolishness of this world to confront the wise. Hey, it sounds foolish, but he that hath the Son hath life. The question I want you to ask yourself tonight is not whether you got good works. Is not whether you've done this or you've done that. The question I want you to ask yourself is whether you have Christ. Has there ever been a time in your life that you came before God and realized that you were a guilty sinner and accepted the gift of God? Forgiveness for your sin in the person of Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, you might be a very religious person. You may have your membership in this church and another church and another church. You may have studied with four or five different groups of people. And you may know this Bible from cover to cover, but justification is by faith, the Bible teaches. Now the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther discovered that one day in his life, and for the first time in his life, after being a religious monk, he said, I see the light. The justification is by faith, and faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the demonstration of things not seen. And he went on to believe that the only way that man can justify himself before a holy God is by trusting totally and completely on the Lord Jesus Christ and on Him alone.
Amen.
You say, well, I believe that, but you got one but too many. What if? There ain't no ifs. He that hath the Son hath life. You say, well, I interpret that to mean, I know what you interpret that to mean. That's why you don't mean nothing when you say something. Or that's why your sayings don't mean nothing. Whatever. The Bible still says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. Now I close this last question. Who gave you the witness? Romans says the Spirit beareth witness. He said, well, my preacher said I was saved. You got the wrong witness. The Spirit beareth witness. Which Spirit? Spirit of God. He goes on to say, he that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. This is what God says. Christianity is in Christ alone.
Amen.
He said, I am the way. If he was not the way, if Christianity involved more than Christ, he'd have told us so. Who was the person that shed his blood on the cross of Calvary but Christ? If there was any other way, did he not come and pray that evening? Say, Father, if there's any other way, there was no other way. That's why the Bible said he humbled himself unto the death and the death of the cross. And he died and bled on that cross and shed his blood on that cross. That's why that thief, when he saw him, what did he see? hanging on that cross. What did he see? He saw his only way out.
Amen.
His only way out. Religion wasn't offering, hadn't offered this man a way out. He's, how do you know he was religion? He was religious. Hey, religion was all around that place. All the religious leaders of that day were around that place. Were they interested in his soul? Was anybody there telling him, listen, say these words or trust in this? They didn't care about him. Religion won't care about you the day you die. Only Christ will care about you. But he stood there and he heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Faith was born in the heart of this man, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he said, remember me, Lord, when you cometh in thy kingdom. And man can twist the scripture, and man can add anything to that scripture he wants. But the scripture still says, the Lord said, today.
Amen.
Today you shall be with me in paradise.
Amen.
You say, should a person be baptized? Well, the eunuch thought so, for he asked, what keepeth me from being baptized? The seed had no opportunity to get off that cross, get baptized. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't tell him he needed to. Now, religion can tell you you need to, and man can tell you you need to, and people, hey, this Bible was not written for intellects. No. God shows the simple things of the world. Hey, if you think today there's ignorant people, they're not happy. Are you as ignorant as your grandmother was? No. You're not as wise as she was, but you have a lot more knowledge than she did. True? How about her grandmother? And her grandmother? How about those men 2,000 years ago? Unlearned men. When we think of unlearned men today, hey, it don't compare to unlearned men 2,000 years ago. Man's knowledge has grown. That's why today we're driving cars instead of walking. Why today we fly in airplanes and take hearts out of people and put them in another man. Man's knowledge has grown. When God wrote this book, he wrote it for the unlearned, for the simple-minded. You say, then why has men made it so complicated? Very simple. Money. You ever been to court? I was in court. And the judge said, sir, I cannot receive your statement. It must be in legal terms. Legal terms? He said, yes, you must see a lawyer. And you present this before the court in legal terms. We'll see this. So I said, I'm not going to pay no $200-something to a lawyer. So I went down to the clerk and I said, would you show me some forms of some petitions before the judge in legal terms? She said, yes. Everything, I pulled them and I looked at them. You couldn't read any of it. Didn't make no sense. It'd take a dictionary to define each word. And then when I found the dictionary, it had 10 different meanings.
Yeah.
I had to hire a lawyer to tell me what it meant. Why do you think they do that? Money. Why do you think religion has prospered? Money. They tell man, God don't mean what he says here.
That's right.
And so he told me to tell you what he says here. And they don't mean what it says over here. You said that's Christianity? Oh, that's religion. All kinds of religion. That's Baptist religion. That's Catholic religion. That's all kinds of religion. Men interpret the scripture for personal gain. For the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
Every head bow, every eye closed. What are you trusting on tonight? What is your trust? If you're trusting on Jesus plus something, sorry, but you're not trusting the gospel. You don't have the guarantee of going to heaven. For you see, if there was anything that could be added, then it's no longer of grace, but of works. Not of works of righteousness, the Bible says, that no man may glory.
What are you trusting on tonight? Who would raise their hand real high and says, "Brother, I'm trusting on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." Could you raise your hand real high? He said, "I'm trusting on that and that alone." You can lower your hands. Who would be here tonight and says, "Brother Victor, I'm not saved. God knows I'm not saved. I sought for the salvation of my heart. I sought it in so many churches. I sought for it in so many religions. But I do not know tonight. If I die, I'd go to heaven." Jesus said, "These things are written that you might know." God wants you to know. Do you want to know? Do you care enough tonight to know that the day you die, you go to heaven? Who would raise their hand and say, "Pray for me. I care to know." God bless you. God bless you. Someone else. "I care to know that the day I die, I'm going to go to heaven." God bless you. "I care to know." Anybody else? "I'm concerned about my soul, and I care to know that day I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me." You said, "You have set doubt in my heart tonight. I've not wanted to." 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." You know your heart. Just check up. Are you in the faith? If you are, praise God. If you ain't, why don't you trust Christ tonight? Anybody else would raise their hand and say, "Pray for me. Pray for me." I'm going to pray for you in a minute. Pastor's going to come and lead a song. And while I pray for you, why don't you get up out of your chair and come up forward here. And let us pray with you tonight that you might know how to be saved and that you might know that you are saved. Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for this message, for the souls that you've touched. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God will finish the sermon and apply it and reveal what I cannot reveal. The truth of the Scripture, that it is Christ and Christ alone which guarantees us an eternal home in glory. May those that have been trusted in works, those that have been trusted in their religion, those that have been trusted in their baptismal, may they tonight see the truth that they must trust in Christ and Christ alone. Deal with those hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.